Welcome to the Life Podcast. We're so glad that you are joining us for another hope-filled message. And our prayer is that you are encouraged by this powerful Sunday sermon.
It's good to be in church. And whether it is your first time in an environment like this, or like myself, you've been in church a little while, I pray God speaks to you as we gather around His Word. And whether you're in the room, you're online, you're in one of our locals, I believe in the power of God's Word. And over the last few Sundays in the month of October, we've had some time to focus in on the Bible, on His living Word. And if you haven't been around for a few Sundays, I encourage you to jump online and listen to the messages, because we believe here at Life in God's Word. We believe it is real, it is relevant, it is alive today as it has ever been. And we're going to take some time today to kind of round out the series and really want to speak to your heart about how important God's Word is for our everyday lives. Because the truth is, this book, known as the Bible, is not just a book. It's not just any old book. This book, the Bible, has actually helped shape laws in our society. This book has helped improve social movements. This has actually helped set in motion what we know as the arts and culture today. And the truth is, God's Word is the most sold book on planet Earth and the most shoplifted book on planet Earth. So there must be something about this book that is different to any other book. If everyone wants to buy it and everyone wants to steal it, maybe, just maybe, it's not just a book full of historical accounts. And as we've been going on the journey, and I hope, like myself, you've been encouraged to lean into His Word a whole lot more, we start to discover and realize from cover to cover that this is not just any old book, but this is God's Word that is as relevant today as it's ever been. In fact, the way I would put it is, this book is God's spoken word. The Scriptures is God's way of communicating to you and I today. It communicates His character. It communicates His heart for you and I, for humankind. This word is truth. The truth is, the Bible declares that God is our eternal King, which means He knows the beginning from end and the end from the beginning. He was, He is, and He will always be. And that is why we must then recognize, if we serve the eternal King, His word is still working, still speaking, and still relevant today as it's always been. But the first week I kicked off and talked around the validity of the Bible, and that actually there's a whole lot of historical realities to back up that this is not just a bunch of stories, but this is truth. We looked at the reality in week one that God ultimately wants to be known by you and I. Week two, Pastor Joel Holm was here and he opened our eyes to the fact that this is not like a car manual, because no one reads their car manual. But actually, God's Word is more like a treasure map where you and I can go on a discovery to find God and ourselves in the story. Last week, if you were here in church, Pastor Ben Mays, our teaching pastor, talked about the reality of how we can practically read this to help it benefit our everyday life. And today, I guess, I want to park on the reality that the Bible, God's Word, actually helps you and I see the way we are to walk here in this life, to see ourselves walk into all eternity and be with God ultimately. And so if you've got your Bible, I want you to turn to the book of Luke. Good book, that one. And Luke 24, right at the end of this book, is a passage of Scripture. And for context sake, very briefly, this is post Jesus dying on the cross and rising again. But we pick up this account with a couple of Jesus's followers who He interacts with, and they haven't got the full story. They were followers of Jesus, but they were in a state, I guess, of being lost, being stuck. And they were stuck because Jesus had died, and they kind of weren't at a point of belief in their sorrow that He had risen again. And so we're going to pick it up, Luke 24 and verse 13, and read it all the way through to 31, so bear with me. But it says this: that same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. So if you were walking about 11 minutes, a kilometer, it's about a two-hour journey. As they walked along, there was plenty of chance for them to talk, and so they talked about everything that had happened. When they were talking and discussing these things, Jesus Himself suddenly came and began walking with them, but God kept them from recognizing him. Jesus was there, but Jesus wasn't there. Jesus was there, but to them, he was just any old person. God had caused this opportunity for them to not fully realize who he was. We're going to find out why in a moment. And sometimes we need to be encouraged, like we're going to read, that we find ourselves in life and Jesus is actually present. It just doesn't look like it right now. And the fact is, as we read this scripture, you're going to realize that Jesus, in this moment, wanted to take them on a journey. It was a two-hour walk around the reality and the importance of the scriptures. And for those that are maybe feeling stuck right now, I want you to bear with me. God is with you. And as you go on the discovery, as Joel said, like a treasure map, you'll start to discover not only who you are, but who God is. It goes on in verse 17. Jesus asks them, well, Jesus, but to them it was just some random dude who suddenly appeared. What are you discussing so intently as you walk along, Jesus said. They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, you must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened in the last few days. It's like, come on, dude, Jesus died. Imagine talking to Jesus, but it wasn't Jesus and it was Jesus there. And they're going, are you crazy? There's a reason we're sad and you should know, because everyone knows what has just happened. Jesus being Jesus, even though he wasn't Jesus, he goes, what things? The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth, they said. He was a prophet. Imagine telling Jesus who he was. That was awesome. He's the one who did powerful miracles. He's a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests, these two followers said, and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 years ago. Their hopes and their dreams were dashed. They were stuck. They were lost because of what they thought the story ended like. And they went on to say to Jesus, there was some woman from our group of his followers that were at the tomb early this morning. They came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the woman had said. Side note, lads, the ladies generally know. Then Jesus said to them, verse 25, you foolish people. Remember, it's Jesus, but to them, they're blinded to the reality. So this random has just appeared, and he's asked them for their story, and then he's rebuking them. You can tell how awkward it would have been in this moment. He says, you foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his eternal glory? Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time, they were now nearing Emmaus, and they were at the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he was going to go on, but they begged him, stay the night with us since it is getting late. So he went home with them. There was something in the interaction that wanted them to stay with this guy, even though they didn't know he was Jesus. They begged him because it was getting late. So they went home. As they sat down to eat, Jesus took the bread and blessed it. They broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And at that moment, Jesus did a great disappearing act. Isn't it interesting that we find an account here where they are stuck, they are lost. These were followers of Jesus. They didn't recognize Jesus was with them. And it was Jesus pointing back to himself in the scriptures to make not just the what make sense, but the why. It's important for us as believers to understand, not just in a concept, but be led by his scripture, because the moment they accepted the reality that what happened and in their sorrow was actually predicted long ago, the word, the Bible says, became flesh, and they realized their eyes were opened to the reality that they had Jesus, the Messiah himself, the resurrected Savior in their midst. I'm praying that today, in the next few short minutes, every single one of us we get a new revelation of how amazingly important God's word is and how powerful his word is to speak to our everyday realities here and now, even when we feel stuck or lost. Father, I pray that as your word has been declared, it would go forth and it would multiply in our hearts and our lives. I pray this wouldn't just be another message we hear. But Lord God, you would speak in and through our hearts, our lives in this moment. We ask it in your mighty name, the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. I don't know if you've ever had a time in your life where you are actually lost. Not like you're at the mall and you can't find your favorite store. To all the husbands out there, not like when you go to the supermarket twice a year and you can't find what your wife's asking you to look for. To all the ladies, not when you lose your car in the parking lot. Where did I park again? Yeah. Maybe that's just my wife, but anyway, we'll leave that there. But when you're actually genuinely lost and you don't know where to go, I've got a couple of friends and they're into hunting, and even though I am not a hunter, as you can see, they convinced me it would be a great idea to go hunting. And so we took a helicopter into the middle of the North Island, and literally there is no power and there is no running water and you've got to hope that you survive. It was awesome. Not. I remember it because one of the days they said, we're going for a 20-kilometer walk over the other side of this hill range in search of red deer. Anyway, I'm just following along and not really taking too much notice. If you've never been deep into a dense bush-like scenario, everything looks the same. And I suddenly found, we ended up where we wanted to go, and we sat down, we had a bite to eat, and then I was looking through these binoculars, what I thought was a deer, but it was just a tree. Thanks to my colorblindness, red, brown, and green just blend in together really nicely. But as I was distracted for a moment, I didn't realize, but my friends had gotten up and moved to the next location. And before I knew it, I was standing in the middle of somewhere that I knew where I was, but I didn't know where I was. And I couldn't see them, and I was trying to work out which way we had come from and which way they were saying they were wanting to go. And so for about 5 or 10 minutes, I sort of frantically went around this corner. No, they're not there. Around this corner, no, they're not there. Or maybe I'll go back and try and find my way back to the hut. Well, the problem was that was 20 kilometers away, and I started to get anxious very quickly. And the only thing I could do in being lost, and really what I thought was the only option I had, was to stay put, because I figured they would come back if they were friends to find me. And so I sat in this particular spot. If I close my eyes right now, I can still picture it. It's about 6 years ago. And the good news is I'm still alive, so the story ends well. But I sat there, and for about the next 20 to 25 minutes, between praying and eating all the snacks I had in my backpack, I sweated out a few kilos, waiting and waiting and hoping and praying. And all of a sudden, they appear. And little did I know, there was this gap that you had to lift this tree branch that they knew about because they had been there before, and there was a track. And all I would have done is found them as I followed that track. It would have been quite easy. But because I didn't know the area, I was lost. I was stuck. And it all worked out because as they found me again, I did what I did on the way out there, and all I did was just watch the feet in front of me lead me to where we needed to go. God's word has the ability to help you and I navigate through this life. But the challenge is we get to points in our life where we get distracted and we look up and we think, now what do I do? And if we're not careful, we cling on to other things where we try and navigate our own path or our own way. And God wants you and I to realize that his word actually has the ability to illuminate our path. In fact, the way I would put it is, for many of us that feel stuck as Christians in our day and our age, in the culture that we live in, where there is the danger and the great travesty of getting distracted by different ideologies or different realities through great YouTube videos or whatever the list may be, and we can get stuck or lost very, very quickly. But we need to be reminded, as we have been in this series, to come back to the truth, because the truth, the Bible declares, will set you and I free. See, his word is our ultimate truth. It's our ultimate understanding, and it has the ability to show us where we need to get to. Much like those that had gone to that particular hunting block before knew the ways to go, even though it looked very confusing, God's word has been, is current, and will always be, and therefore can be trusted to navigate us through this world. In fact, Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path," or as the Message translation puts it, "by your words," the psalmist says, "I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path." And so very simply, today I want to encourage every single one of us that his word, the Bible, both orients us and directs us. It orients us because it helps you and I find where we are today in the story of God's great plan. Not only does it help you locate where you are, it actually directs you. His word teaches us, not you're just hearing the story, but it teaches us how to live in the day and the age we find ourselves in today. But if we're not careful, we just look at this book as the most sold and the most shoplifted as a bunch of historical facts and figures, yet it is God's living word that speaks to us. It's strange to me in this account in the book of Luke that God doesn't allow them to recognize it was Jesus initially. It's important we recognize this because I think we understand victory or success to look like me and Jesus all the time, no bad stuff happens, God is good. But the truth is we live in a broken and a dark and a hurting world, and when we are faced with things we didn't pray for, when we're faced with things we didn't bring upon ourselves or we did, we've got to realize that even though Jesus may not be present from our understanding in a moment, he's always present. And he wants to discuss with you and I through his word the realities of who he is, just like he did with these two followers. It's interesting that Luke 24 recounts as Jesus asked them, he starts to talk to them and say, "Hey, don't you remember what Moses said? Don't you remember what all the other prophets predicted?" He was not just giving them the what, but the why everything was taking place. God's ultimate desire is that he would be known and have relationship with us, but the great thing about his word is it helps you and I understand the big picture and the enormity of who he is. He wanted these guys to understand and to orientate themselves within the unfolding plan of what God was doing. And as I've read this passage and considered it, I think ultimately the way I would sum it up is the encounter God wants you and I to have through his word would be one where you realize, I realize his word is enough to direct us in this life. Because if you're like me, you often find yourself stuck or lost because of what we have to face in this life. And I believe there's three clear things that the Bible does as we take God at his word and live his word and live his way. Number one, the Bible gives us context from the past. So many of us live in a generation where all we're enamored with is content, not context. So we see someone successful, content, and we think, I want what they have, but you don't understand the context of what it took to get there. We may walk into a building like this and think, man, how amazing is this? Context, 32 years ago, a couple that were crazy enough with three kids under five left Australia to move to New Zealand, not on a financial plan, on a word from God. We come in and we're like, man, God is good. Yep, I can tell you, being one of those under five kids, what the journey's been like. And there's been good days and there's been tough days. And if we're not careful, we live the content of our day in our Christian worldview as a 21st century Christian and fail to realize the enormity and the context of the God who was, the God who is, and the God who will always be. The truth is, as you read God's word and you gain context from his word, there are four main kind of realities to his word. Four narratives. There is number one, creation. We understand in the beginning was God. God created a perfect world. God created humans in his image. In fact, he not just created us in his image, but he tasked us with stewarding everything here on earth well. And on a daily basis, he walked with humans in relationship with them. And that sounds amazing, but we move from creation in the Bible, talks about a period of time where there was the fall. And this is where us as humans thought we knew best, thanks to our relatives Adam and Eve. We rebel against God and we live corrupted. Even with God's direction, relationship, and revelation, Adam and Eve succumbed to the depravity, and now we fell away from him. The Old Testament, though, always points us to the reality of Jesus and our need for a Savior. Augustine puts it this way, the new is in the old concealed, and the old is in the new revealed. And so not only was there creation in the fall, but now the good news, there is redemption. And we understand that through Jesus living a perfect life as a human being like you and I, he teaches us and we read in Scripture and understand how we ultimately should live God's way because it's the best for us, even though you and I were born into sin, even though you and I do sin, Jesus' sacrifice on the cross atoned our sin and shame. This is where redemption becomes incredibly amazing because not only are we saved from our rebellion, the Bible teaches us because of Jesus, we are now being transformed by the very power, presence, and person of the Holy Spirit. So it would be enough just for Jesus to save you, but now he says, I'm going to go so you can not just live safe, but you can live set free. And so not only is there creation and the fall and redemption, we then find this final topic matter in the Bible and in Scripture, and it's restoration. This is why context is important, because at the end of this age, God will create a new heaven and a new earth. God has promised that sin and darkness will no longer rule. And as a believer, you and I are promised a receiving of eternal life. This is why Book of Romans puts it in verse 4 of chapter 15 as an encouragement for you and I. Hey, just remember, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction. But remember, it's going to take a little bit of oomph, some endurance. You're going to need to be, I'm going to need to be in this life encouraged from the Scriptures so you may have, I may have hope and overflow with confidence in his promises. The Bible always helps you and I in our today with the context from the past. Secondly, the Bible orientates our present day realities. It puts it into perspective what's going on right now. Much like if you go to a mall and it's a rather large mall and you want to know where you are because you haven't been there before, you hit the information map and it says, you are here. And if it's a fancy one, you can push where you want to get to and it'll... But the map's job is ultimately there to help orientate you in the context of where you are. I'm in this mall, where am I? Is the first question you need to find out before you can say, where do I need to go? God's word helps orientate our present day realities because it reminds us that if we faithfully walk with God in the light of what God's already done by sending Jesus, we will be okay. When we read the Bible, we get a chance to look beyond our immediate environment and actually step into the bigger picture of God. I mean, how many know this to be true? Because when you start to read God's word and you read the end of the book, you realize what our world is going through right now, as crazy as it is a part of the story. Down to some of the finer details of what we're seeing right now on planet Earth, it's all in here. And you start to realize, oh, this may be why the book is the most sold and the most stolen, because there's something different. This is not just a book. This is the living word of God. The way a author, Rowan Williams, put it, Christians read the Bible not as a document from history, but as a world into which they enter so that God may meet them there. When you start to read God's word, you start to understand God is good. God is compassionate. God has all power, all grace, all wisdom for you and for me for our today. And he reveals himself through his word in ways he's done before and ways he will always do. Ultimately, we need to be reminded in our present day realities, whether they're trials or triumphs, when we read his word, it helps us orient our lives into the stability of who he is. Hebrews puts it this way, Jesus Christ is eternally changeless. He's always the same, yesterday, today, and forevermore. And if that is true, then you can find a firm foundation in his word. Not only does the Bible give us context from the past, not only does the Bible orientate our present day realities, third and finally, I believe the Bible assures us of our future. No matter what your present day reality looks like, you can be assured your future has hope. We read the Bible in light of Jesus, we understand throughout the Old Testament narratives, we actually see God intended for us to live in relationship with him, even though we keep failing through rebellion and infighting. But Jesus came and made a way where there was no way. Jesus paid the price for all our wrongs against God and others, and he actually invites us into a community of love. Through the prophets, we actually see in God's word, him calling each one of us to live righteously, and the prophets promise that there is a new day where your heart, your life can be transformed by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches us through Jesus' death and resurrection that even though we may be lost or stuck right now, when we receive him, we receive the Holy Spirit who transforms us from the inside out and makes us righteous, right with God. Through the wisdom books, we see that we can actually gain wisdom that's yet to be found here on earth because of who God is. And even though there might be suffering and death in this life, through Jesus, the eternal life we all long for is possible and accessible in him. Through the New Testament narratives, it goes on to tell us and explain to us, as Jesus was revealed, and as we understand his great love for us, we can actually follow his example. And not only is it great for us, but now Jesus says, you can bring hope and healing to a dying world, just like I did. Through the epistles, the apostles tell us and show us, as Jesus was speaking to his church, that you and I actually have all we need to live a life worthy of God's calling here on earth. And through Revelation, the end book, we see Jesus ultimately returns for every single one of us that say yes to him here on earth and wins the battle for us. If that's not assuring, I don't know what is. That in the beginning was God. He's right in the midst of our present day realities, and there is an end in sight where no more pain, no more suffering, victory is found in him. And so as I said at the beginning of this series, and the team are going to come and join me as I bring this to a close, I love how James puts it. And James 1 says this in verse 21. Get rid of all the filth, all the evil in your lives, and humbly accept the word of God. He's planted it in your hearts. And if you accept it, if I accept it, it actually has the power to save our souls. But watch very closely, verse 22. Don't just listen. I want you to capture this. Don't just listen to God's word. No. You must what? Do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing into the mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, and you forget what you look like. Verse 25 encourages us, but if you carefully look. When you're careful, you take time. You understand context. You understand where it sits in the reality of God's story. And then you realize that this is not the end. This is the beginning of what is going to be a brand new day. Look carefully into the perfect law that what sets you free. And if you do what it says and you don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. You want God's blessing on your life? Be a hearer and a doer of His word, and He will assure you that He will look after you. Because transformation comes from reading His word and obeying His word. Just like the disciples on the road to Emmaus that we just read about in Luke 24, Jesus, I believe, wants to open our eyes to His scripture. He wants us to find ourselves in His word and find Him in His word, that we may understand the fullness of who He is through the context of the past, the orientation of our present day reality, and the assurance we have of our future, no matter what it may or may not look like. You know, people have been asking, what do you think all this war around the world means? Truth is, I don't know. What I do know is Jesus is coming. Because His word declares that there's an assuredness for every single one that says yes to Him, that Jesus is coming to free every single one of us that feels stuck. He actually is coming that you and I would know that He will conquer sin and death once and for all. Even though I don't know what it all means with the craziness that's going on in our world, what I do know is we have a hope stronger and more certain than the physical world can offer us right now. And when we actually get to a place where we carry, read, and live His word, it actually allows you and I to stand. And stand because we realize we are saved and we are set free. Stand because we realize despite the battle in Jesus, we have the victory. It allows us to stand and know our portion is His perfect peace. And ultimately, when you understand His word, it gives you and I the confidence to stand and declare, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. God's word helps orientate and direct our lives and navigate us through this life. Let's always give God the benefit of the doubt, because He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And I thought it would be awesome to bring today to a close by declaring this great song we declared earlier, that You are the same God. That as we call on the God who's done it before, who's doing it now, and will be forevermore, we start to gain a confidence to say, you know what? I may be facing some stuff right now, but the context of who God is and what He's done, what He's doing, and what He will do, the orientating nature of His word saying, man, I'm in the story, a big old story, and even though He's a big God, He's personal, He can reach into my story. I understand that by reading His word. He might just appear suddenly, I might not see Him right now, but I get to understand that He is walking with me, and there will be a revealing that takes place. Or for people, you need to sing this and say, you know what? I am really unsure and scared of the future, Luke, but I'm going to declare He's the same God and have an assurance of the future and the hope we have in Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. I trust you're encouraged by this incredibly powerful word. You know, you've always got a place to call home here at Life, and I want to encourage you to join us in one of our campuses in Auckland or Tauranga, or why don't you join us at church online. To find out more about Life and to stay connected with us, why don't you visit lifenz.org.